We have been talking about what God's doing with us and where we're moving as a congregation. And I am so ecstatic about this new move of God that He's using us to prep the end time move, which I believe in your generation you will see the Lord. If you would turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we know this scripture by, we should know it by heart, but we will read 11 through 13, and the title of this message is called Master Builders. Father, we just surrender our hearts, our minds to you, Holy Spirit. Educate us. Give us the wisdom that we're going to need, Father, to prep us for this end time move. Help us to recognize your hand in everything that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Through the years, I've been dealing with giving you little nuggets as to fivefold ministry, how it functions a little bit so that you would understand that we were moving in that direction. We have been moving in that direction all along. Excuse me. And so in moving in this here, today I want us to come away with a greater purpose as to these fivefold ministry gifts. We know about the teacher. The teacher is one who is going to teach us the rudiments of the faith. We know about the evangelist. He's the one who goes out and gathers, but his job is also to teach us how to gather. We know about the pastor, who's supposed to nurture and care and comfort the sheep while it's going through a great move of God and through the trials and tribulations of life. And also, we've come to understand something of the prophet's call. But today I want us to really understand what God is doing with us. And the master builders are all five of these gifts together, headed up by the apostle. Okay? And so God wants us to understand and come away with this clarity. And what happens with these gift ministries come in, there's a supernatural impartation that they give to the body of believers of the local church. And their powerful anointing, their great grace ministry actually permeates and empowers the people of God. Apostles and prophets worked to clear away the debris of broken lives, and they set Christ as the chief cornerstone. In the early days of the work here, I spent a lot of time clearing up a lot of the debris in your lives. And what I did was I brought us always to the center of Jesus Christ. Jesus this, Jesus that. Everything was centered around Jesus. Ephesians 2 tells us that He's the chief cornerstone. Everything that is set in that foundation, there has to be a chief cornerstone that is laid for the purpose of support and alignment. We have to understand that when we dig into your lives, when these gift ministries dig into your lives, it's not to know the intimate details of what's going on. It's to clear the debris that the enemy has allowed you to live with, and you think that that's normal. And it's not normal. And what happens is when we start digging into your lives, we see the potential of Jesus Christ and what He wants to do through your life to reach your family, your neighbors, your friends, your employers, to become that which God has created you to become. We also have to understand that with this solid foundation of Jesus Christ, it is to elevate your thinking, to elevate who you are. And a lot of you are nodding your head, yeah, I understand all that, but you don't understand because it's not being correlated into an action. And that's what has to happen in these days ahead. What you have been taught now has to be translated into action. There has to be a definitive change in your life. Yeah, you've made great headway. But as one song said, I surrender my rights. Have we really surrendered our rights? Have we surrendered our life to Him? And you see, the object of the goal here is for us to grow up, not only to have a knowledge of Him, but become like Him, or better yet, have Him come through us to the world. Only then will we begin to understand the depth and magnitude of this calling that God has upon our lives. And it is an awesome calling. It is something that is so renowned that the fame of His name would always be on our lips telling people. That's what we have to understand, and this is what has to happen in the church. There's a reason why there's a delineation of these gift ministries, because each one is a part of the building process of which the apostle is the chief master builder. He is the one who is divinely appointed with the understanding of laying this foundation. He is the one who has a governmental authority in the church. And by that I mean He's the one that sets the policies and procedures of everything of how the church is supposed to respond, not only to God, but how to become that which God's called us to be, the people of God. And He has spiritual authority in that how He functions in this authority enriches the lives of the local assembly. Okay? So that's what makes Him a gift to the body of Christ. And there's not many of them that are out there today, or at least not recognized. And God is bringing this forth. This has been going on since the early 90s, that people that have had apostolic anointings and callings didn't realize what was going on. They just did it. Now today we're realizing that calling, that function, is who they are, and that's okay. It's what God is doing in there. And we can see that they're first among the rank to be set in after Jesus Christ. And we know in Ephesians it's chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, and laid upon with the prophets and apostles. Okay? They're the three elements of building the local church and also causing the church to rest upon these three individuals, of which the apostle and prophet sits upon the apostle of all, and that's Jesus Christ. The Greek word for apostle is proton, proton. And they're given pioneering spirits for the expansion, solely for the expansion of the church or kingdom authority. They're responsible for administrating policy throughout the kingdom as master builders of the church. They also have a spiritual capacity for the preparation of the new apostolic revolution that is taking place already within the body of Jesus Christ. And we see it. We see it happening in the churches, in other fellowships. They're not recognizing what's going on because they had incomplete teachings as to what's been going on. And so they struggle. They're struggling with this, even as we speak right now. These apostles are filled with divine strategies and revelation for fulfilling the Great Commission. God has called the church, His church, to do something. And only when the church is beginning to function in the way that they were designed to, will we actually fulfill the Great Commission. It's kind of like what's happening right now is you're driving a six-cylinder car with only four cylinders working. You're not really getting the fullness of the power, but what is coming, and it's coming through you guys, is this power. Okay? what will happen in the months, weeks, years ahead is that you guys, some of you have already, like I said a couple of weeks ago, have been experiencing some of these things that's been going on in your life. You don't know why you've been working with nuts and bolts. You don't know why you've been seeing certain things. You don't know why God is using you in a certain way. And there's this continuum of a similar thing happening in your life all the time. It is the beginning of fivefold ministry that's going to happen in streams. Is now happening within your own spirits, even as we move forward. The other thing is that when this becomes more and more prevalent, you will become the generals and the commanders of the end time army that will take the land, bring in Father's harvest, and then Jesus will come. That is the plan. That is His plan. Apostles will teach and exemplify the values of the kingdom by being interrelated and united for the great cause of Jesus Christ. And He will unite and link His arms up with like-minded men. And that's what God has done with us. We have linked up with like-minded men who have these anointings, who are doing these things. I was talking with Nolan yesterday as we were whacking out some of the shrubbery. He was saying that, you know, we had to link up with these guys because I felt like I was going crazy. I had all this in me and I could see all this stuff, but I couldn't relate it with anybody. And God has related that to us so that we can become relational. And that started when we went to Band of Brothers. And so we've become relational. Our DNA is very similar with NRP's DNA, and so we're building together, and of course the rest is history. These apostles also have a willingness to lead disciples in becoming even more proactive in our Christian walk. And what does that mean? It means that Jesus said that we need to be salt and light into the world. We need to be out there engaging the community. We can't be hiding behind the four walls any longer. We have to change the way we think of church. We have to change the way we think about who we are in Jesus Christ. Because if we're still thinking with the same thinking that we came to Jesus Christ with, we will not enter into sonship or daughtership. We will be prevailing disciples all the time. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to enter into the fullness of what He has provided for us. He doesn't want us to stay under the tutelage of men and women. He wants us to join the ranks of them as fully mature believers in Jesus Christ. Apostles willingly oppose false doctrine, false religious structures, spirits of apathy, lukewarmness, and demonic governments with false religious voices. With a passion. That passion is to protect the bride of Christ, the church. And we do that. If you haven't been part of the Truth Project, I encourage you to get with Gary and Jesse. They're meeting with an individual who's going through the Truth Project. That will enable you to have a worldview, a biblical worldview, as to what God is doing in the land, and help bring a complete thinking process to you so that you can understand what is going on. We have this passion. The fivefold ministers have this passion to see God's church rise up. In Romans, we're told that the whole creation is waiting for the revelation of the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ to be revealed. Who are the sons and daughters? We are. And they're waiting for us. They're waiting to see us drive back the darkness. They're waiting for us to stand up for righteousness, morality, rebuking evil, and taking charge. of where men have failed. Which brings us to the pastor only model. The Greek word for pastor is poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, and it only appears once in the New Testament. But yet we've built thousands of churches on the pastor. And I'm not saying that it's bad. A pastor is supposed to be part of the church. He's supposed to take care of the church. God gave it, these men and women to the church. And it's by their dominant grace that this has happened. But what has occurred because of these graces is that strong disciples have not been raised up. Strong disciples have not been raised up because with the dominant grace that there is to bless and nurture, comfort, and protect the flock, we think that that's the full scope of what the local church is supposed to be. We think that's what's supposed to happen. And what God is restoring to the church is not that model. The pastor model is not effective in raising up disciples to conduct spiritual warfare. And because of that, what we have done is we've raised up a self-centered type of prayer life. God, if you want me to do this, God, if you would do that, God, God, God. Instead of us dealing with the issues that are at hand. Standing up against the foreign gods of secular humanism, radical Islam, hostile homosexuality, Eastern mysticism, and every other demonic thing that's out there. All of its agenda is to assault the Christian church, to assault Christian values. You can see it on TV, how they mock the man of God, how they mock Christians, how they put them down, how even in our schools and even in our government, they're trying to expel God from everything, saying that there is a separation of church and state. There is. That separation is the government can't tell the church what to do. But the church tells the government what to do. We've kind of gotten this backwards a little bit because we believe the lie that this is okay. And the church has to arise and take its position against these evil spirits. What has happened today is because of this assault that's been going on against our values, and it's been headed up by witchcraft, yoga, Jezebel spirits, religious and carnal Christians who are being used by the Holy Spirit to thwart, to stop expansion of God's kingdom. And what we have that comes out of it is the fruit of a blatant carnal and rebellious society. It is rebellious towards authority. It is easily offended. It's full of apathy. And it just doesn't care about its fellow man. And because it doesn't care, it does not get involved. And the church must get involved. That's what God has called us to be. Light and salt into the air. So that men would see what's going on. Many churches today have ungodly governments. And what they have done is they elect boards to hire pastors who are neither called nor given to the church. They've gone to cemetery, they've been trained, and now that what they're looking for is the next big church that's been going out there. Those who are a part of this commission to elect a pastor into their midst are generally businessmen. They have a business model. And why do they have this position? Because they're the ones that have the prestige. They're the ones with the finances. They hold on to the purses of the church as if it were their own. These men have been given to shepherd the flock. And what God wants is the flock to be apostled. And that may be hard for some of us to understand. But apostling is totally different. It's laying a foundation into the believer's life so that they can be equipped to go and become a terror to the enemies of God. There's nothing, nothing that can stop us. Nothing will stop us. For we will go and do that which God has designed us to become. Because these guys hold the purse strings of these churches, what we have turned these churches into is fellowships that have a proverbial hospital within that. We're always fixing people, but they're never getting healed. It's kind of like going to a shrink. You never get healed. You're always delving deeper and deeper into your problems instead of just repenting, taking authority over your life, and moving on. And because these individuals are now overseers of the church, we've turned churches into religious centers instead of houses of worship. We've turned people into proverbial disciples or believers or make-believers, not sons and daughters of the Most High God. And there's an element that is missing. Turn to Numbers 27. It's a real interesting scripture. Numbers 27, verses 15 through 17. Moses is about to do something with Israel, and that is appoint Joshua as the next person to lead Israel into the promised land. And in 15 it says, "Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may be not be like sheep which has no shepherd." What is this that Moses is trying to distinguish here? First, God sets the individual into place. But we're talking about a ministry that is so important, and it's called the set man ministry. I believe in plurality of eldership. I believe in diaconate. I believe that the church needs to flow with these individuals and these gift ministries. I believe in fivefold ministry, which are gifts to the body of Jesus Christ. But God sets a man responsible for the local church, of which I'm responsible for Streams. No matter how many elders we have, no matter how many deacons and deaconesses we have, he holds me responsible for the condition of this church. And that's what Moses is saying here. And the church for so long has been functioning kind of like a set man ministry in some of the churches we've been affiliated with. But they've kind of like controlled the next generation as to who was going to take over this work, instead of looking to God to see who's going to take over the work. And so Moses is asking God to set someone in. Well, I've been doing that for several months, asking God to set people in to his church that he wants, not what I want. This ministry will enable us, with the plurality of eldership or plurality of leadership, give us a diversity of gifts and talents that's needed in building the local church, of which you guys have. God has given to you great gifts that you may not be able to handle. It's kind of like when a person starts to get military training, they don't know about their weaponry or things like that. And so they practice with them and they do certain things with them in hopes that they would never have to use their training, but they're ever ready for that training. You're going to need your training. You're going to need it because we're at war. And because of what's going on, we have to fight not only to take the land, but we have to fight to keep what God has given to us already. See, the easy part was for us to get the property and the building. We now need to fight to keep it. And there has been a fight that's been going on to shut this thing down ever since Streams became a reality. So as we proceed to move in this model of fivefold ministry and having apostles come in and preachers come in and teachers come in and evangelists come in to train us to engage our society, we have to understand that each one has a viable part in ministry. The importance of these ministries is, one, first we need to learn how to work together. Unity. We need to put to death the pettiness of our emotions, our opinions, and our prejudices. And we need to be seeking His will and doing it first. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. No. I understand that your lives are busy. I understand all that. But it has to be His kingdom first. That's what He enlisted us for. You see, when you learn to sacrifice, and I understand about time, and I understand about all those things that's going on, and that's why we stand up here and say, if you're able to give an hour, 2 hours, whatever, we're happy with that, because that eventually will help us finish and reach a certain goal that we've set. Yesterday, we had several individuals who were with us working. We finally got most of the demo work done inside. It's almost complete. We had the sign down. We had the bulbs out. But the most important thing was the groundwork of the overgrowth of the shrubbery has been completed to a place where I'm quite satisfied with that. And of course, we had an accident yesterday. I got bloodied. But on a whole, there was no injury, because when we're focused on doing what God wants to do, He protects us, and He's the one who keeps us moving forward. And that's why I'm so pleased to thank you for the time that you have given to these things. But I'm not saying give this time at the expense of your house, because your first ministry is still your home. And if your home is out of order, you need to put it into order so that you can serve God. And as He's putting your house into order, you find out you have a whole lot more time than you really thought about. And that's what begins to change in your life to become a son and a daughter. Because not only are you finished being tutored, you've implemented the realities of the teachings. When you take ownership of the ministry, and what I mean by taking ownership of the ministry is implementing the teachings into your life so that you can build success into your life, so that your life can be implemented to influence other lives in small ways and in big ways. We have to become more proactive in engaging our family, our friends, our neighbors, and for the first time, we can be a part of the festival. And when people ask us where we will fellowship, we can tell them, 1512 South Black Horse Pike, Williamstown. It's for the first time. And that's an awesome thing when you think about what God has given to us, that we can brag on Him that He's given this to us. And so we'll tell people, because they've asked us before and we couldn't tell them. But now we can, because of God. And because we're able to begin to develop this way, a deeper intimacy is developed. A deeper transparency is developed. It's not about you know, someone getting to know the ins and outs of what's going on in your life. It's about getting to know you as a person and how can I help you reach the goal that God has set for you to become and be utilized in that. Can you see the difference of the pastor-only model has us problem-fixated. Apostolic has us Christ-fixated. And if we're about Father's business, He'll take care of our problems. He's done it so many times for us. The apostolic model is a model that we are entering into and have already begun. It's about setting those foundations into individuals' lives. And Sean is going through some remedial foundational work, and I encourage everyone to get through the foundations. Get to know what the faith is all about. It's imperative that you understand. Bible study is not just Bible study to learn about the Bible. The Bible study is designed in such a way to facilitate the discussion to go deeper. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God, but you have not entered in to your position yet, for you're still being tutored. But as you begin to take on the reality of who you are, you'll have need of less and less tutorage, and then you'll go with me to Pastor Intensive and have an intense remediation of what's important to God. I say that affectionately because it's so good. You never outgrow your foundation. You only solidify it. And if your foundation isn't upon Jesus Christ, if your foundation isn't about being discipled, if your foundation doesn't have anything but a lot of free time, but it's taken up with a lot of the world's stuff, then what I'm saying about your lives and how compromised it's become is a reality and needs to change. I can't change you. You have to be motivated by the Holy Spirit to change. And most of you guys, just like I've said many times, we've never been this way before. And we get our fear raised up. Spirit of fear is raised up. But I'm telling you today, you need to raise up in your faith to believe God and to do what it is that He wants it first. The options are that we have is to become the people of God or not become the people of God. Those who have chosen safe church, what I refer to safe church, are those that are steeped in religion, those who are program-based. They're not relational-based. They're very religious. Those who are hungering and thirsting more of God and what's going on, as God has said to Daniel about the new wine and new wineskin, that's what God is creating with us. A diversity of a people of every tribe, every kindred, every nation, in the midst of the local church, reflecting the community and standing up for what God has said is true. Are you those people? If you are, stand to your feet. Don't stand if you're not one. You know, don't stand because you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. Stand up because you believe that. We have been a long way so far, and we have a long way to go. I can't do it by myself. Irene and I can't do it by ourselves. The leaders can't do it by themselves. This thing is too big for us. But when we work together with the fivefold ministry, we get trained up and set free from what's been holding us back, that freedom is translated into a reality that we've not known before. In the days and weeks that are come, church is going to turn into a training center in which you will train and exercise those training elements before we break for the day. It's that imperative. Yeah, we're going to worship God. We're going to praise Him. But He's also going to give to you the things that you need to become that which He's called into your life and bring greater understanding and greater clarity to your purpose to become that son and that daughter who not only can agree that there's spiritual power and authority, but walk in it. And that's the destiny that is set before Streams, is to walk in that power, to walk in love, to walk in understanding and compassion, to have our houses in order in such a way that we reflect Jesus Christ. Father, we just come before You, and Holy Spirit, we're just going to wait on You for a second here. This teaching has been very remedial, and I just want it to soak in, Lord. I want Your people to grab a hold of the meat that You bring forth today. Lord, we're not babes any longer. We don't need milk anymore. We need bread and meat, God. We need You, Father. We need to move and flow in the apostolic, God. We need to stand up against that which has no place to stand up before us because they are vanquished and defeated, Lord. Father, cause Your Spirit to be reflective in our homes. That we're flowing like a well-oiled machine, God. That it doesn't matter what the difficulties are, doesn't matter what we experience that the enemy would throw in our way, God. We would respond in truth, in love, and in kindness one to another, God. Father, we just lift our hands to You. Anoint us fresh, God. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness because of the Word, Lord. Because of Your blood that You poured out for us. God, weld our hearts one to another, God, that we would have this passion for You and Your kingdom, God, and for Your church. Give us a passion, God, for this town and how to penetrate it and engage it, God, so that the people would come to be Your people, God. As Your Word says, we were not Your people, but we became Your people. Lord, forgive us of our slothfulness. Forgive us of our personal wants and desires, God. Forgive us of our trespasses, God. Help us to embrace what You're doing now, God. Help us to embrace and become the wine in the wineskin, God. Help us, God. Lead us into greater victory. Line upon line, precept upon precept, God. That we give You glory. That we'll give You praise, God. That we would be used as weapons in Your hands, God. To vanquish the evil. To vanquish the wicked, God. Satan has no place here, God. Holy Spirit, we invite You to be here in the midst of Your people. Fill us afresh. Meet our needs. Bring those, God, that don't have a home. That don't have what we have here, God. Bring them, God. In Jesus' name. For we are all together, part of this master plan, to become master builders, God. To be built on Jesus Christ. That we know God. But a love we have one for another. That we are Your disciples, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.